It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Squawk Talk. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. Squawk Talk, we talk business to business. I'm your host, Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration. And today we have a very special edition of Squawk Talk. Joining me in the studio is a panel of industry experts in the field of property management. Today we'll be discussing topics and issues that face property managers, property owners, and tenants alike. So let's take a minute to get to know our panel. First up on the panel today is Robert Locke with Crown Realty and Management. Welcome, Robert.
Kate, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it very much.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what all is going on with Crown Realty and Management.
Kate, we started buying houses in the late 70s. Betty and I bought a few houses. If you remember the sign along the side of the road, "We buy houses," that was people like me. And we ran out of money after about 2 or 3 years and started finding deals and selling them to investor clients. And they would say, Robert, I'll buy it if you'll manage it. And that kind of dragged us into the business.
Okay.
And today we're managing a little over 1,000 houses. We've got about 30 staff. And it's a great business. I didn't intend to get into it. Kind of got dragged into it accidentally. And it turned out to be a boom. It's a great time in the business cycle to be in property management.
Fantastic. Our next guest on the show today is Kathleen Teer from Atlanta Partners Property Management. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you very much. And again, I appreciate also being here with you this afternoon. We're a company that is a much newer company. We started in January of 2010 as a result of the changing marketplace. We have investors in our company who made the decision that property management was growing tremendously. A very small number of people had their homes professionally managed in this country. And we wanted to take advantage of the fact there were so many investors who were buying in the Atlanta area. Plus, we're affiliated with Keller Williams Atlanta Partners Realty. And a lot of our agents had homes they could not sell, and the owners wanted to become, I guess we'll call them reluctant landlords for now. And we had the investors who were buying. So we saw a need, and it's paid off very well for us. We're managing about 425 properties right now since January of 2010, and we have approximately 6 staff members.
Fantastic. And our final panel guest today is Lisa Fouquet, with Onward Property Management. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. Our company, I think I'm the baby of the family here because we started in August of 2011, and we were also kind of a product of the business. We had a broker owner in the RE/MAX arena, and they created a new company called Onward to handle all the property management needs, and I'm the managing broker of the company. So we work with certified property managers that are all also licensed real estate agents. Kind of a new business model in the area that seems to work really well. We're primarily up in the Lake Lanier area, so we're up to about 150 properties now. And we deal mostly with reluctant landlords also, as a general rule, just sitting down and talking to them about what their options are, starting on the real estate side, whether we can sell or what we want to do. So.
Okay, very good. Well, we've got a nice assortment of panel guests today, so let's get us starting talking about why would somebody want to hire a professional property manager?
I'll pick it up. On the surface, property management, you know, it's amazing. People say, I have a tool belt and I build birdhouses and I know how to use a screwdriver, so I guess I can be a property manager. And if property management was only about maintenance, that would work pretty well. But people think, I've lived in a home, I know how a home works. They don't quite think through the tenant screening process, how to deal with bounce checks, how to deal with complaining tenants, what happens when you have a spot of mold, what happens when the tenant doesn't make their rent payment. It's a lot harder than it looks, and most of the people in this business kind of look back, and I only say this about once a day, why in the world did I ever get in this business? It's a tough business, and the longer you're in it, the more you kind of think, what in the world? Why does somebody choose this business? Most people do not look at a business model for property management and say, wow, if I work this hard for 10 years, I can get rich and retire. You know, most people don't do that. Mm-hmm. Most of us get into it backwards somehow. We see a big need, or we own a bunch of rental properties, and we kind of back into it. So A lot of folks out there think they can do their own tax returns, and that might be a good question. If you don't do your own tax return, maybe you're the type that shouldn't do your own property management.
Very good.
I'd like to piggyback a little bit, too, on what Robert said, is I think a lot of the consumers and homeowners out there do not understand that states have very strict landlord-tenant laws. There's a lot of legality involved in it. If you do have a tenant who's not paying, they don't understand how the eviction process goes, and they think they can just go hand them and say, move, and I'll throw your stuff out on the curb, and it doesn't quite work that way. So I think that more and more homeowners are starting to be educated in regard to it. And I think as the landlord-tenant laws tighten up, and they are, I think that creates also a need of why am I going to expose this unless I'm going to become a full-time property manager, even if I just have one home.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's also the case is you find a lot of people who maybe just have that one home. Maybe it was their home, and they're upside down. They become that reluctant landlord, and they think, well, I'll just rent it. And they don't realize all that goes into involved in becoming, it's now business. This is a business. It's not my home anymore. So let's piggyback a little bit on that is how do you help that reluctant landlord who's been in their home, they needed to get out of it, and now they're a reluctant landlord, but it's their home and they can't get away from it being a home. It's a business now. How do you help them become the landlord or the owner versus it's my home and I want to be all involved in who's in my home and I want to be how do you take them out of that process and make it a business for them? Any advice out there?
Yeah, I would like to answer on that one since most of our clients are individual owners and they are reluctant landlords in that they call and usually first they're just wanting to sell the property and then when they get their information either from their own real estate agent or from one of our agents that maybe that might not work for the market today and the value of the market. So we sit down and we talk about it, and we deal with, when I say reluctant, and I think we all deal with this, is that the first thing is that there's a misconception out there that their house is automatically going to be trashed or that, you know, they're just going to be in a world of trouble by renting it. And we're there to just sort of make that process a little bit easier. I think it starts, and I think everybody will agree with me, with screening. And I find that some of our reluctant landlords are investors themselves, and they've had two or three, maybe developers, maybe builders in the day that have two or three properties, and they're busy thinking that they can, you know, do it all on their own. They don't have time to do it, and they're just troubled. So it starts with just going through the process to find out what are the best options here. And once we get through that, and I call it an insurance policy. It's like having insurance. We're there to help them make everything easier and screen them, but we're also there should something start going awry. We're there to help them, to advise them of the laws. Like I said, the landlord and tenant laws are a little bit different than I think a lot of people realize. So having licensed people helping you with that is imperative in my opinion. So
now I think Lisa's correct, and I, as best we can determine at Crown, in the Atlanta market, and this probably might is the case throughout the country, somewhere between 80 and 85% of the rental houses are actually managed by the owner, which means we have a huge market in front of us and a great opportunity to kind of teach people how much harder it is, you know, kind of take some of those burdens off of them. And I think the result of that is that the reputation of landlording is negative. Mm-hmm. Because without a professional property manager, you are likely going to have a bad experience in landlording.
Right.
And before I got in the business, I had somebody tell me, Robert, if you're going to be a landlord, plan on spending about a third of your time in court. And that kind of scared me. I didn't like that idea. Last year, we had five evictions on 950 houses.
Very good.
So, and the year before was three.
Wow.
So if you do it well, you don't have to fall into that reputation of, do I really want to be a landlord? I mean, people will look at you in a social event. You tell them you're a landlord. They look at you funny. you want to kill a social conversation. Tell them you're with the IRS or you're a landlord, and that'll kind of end it. And I think it's because so many people have tried to do it themselves and have found out it's a lot tougher than it looks.
Well, let's go into a little bit of what you've alluded to is the screening process. What goes into a good screening process to help only have 3 out of 500 or foreclosures or evictions in a year? What would be some of the steps?
I think the screening is absolutely the number one key, which the landlord, the individual self-managing landlord, does not know how to deal with. It's far more than a credit report. and the credit reports are changing dramatically. They can't read them. And sometimes we have a hard enough time reading the reports. But it's a screening. It's not just pulling credit. It's a matter of pulling a criminal history. Are they on the sex offender list? Do they pay their bills? What is their rent history? What is their job history? And looking at a total package. Because so many times people will say, well, what score do I have to have? And our response is the score is a small portion of the screening. And there are a lot of things that go into it. I mean, you can have somebody who had a job loss and their credit may have been impacted 3 years ago and they're gainfully employed and will make wonderful tenants. Mm-hmm. And then you can have the person who's never been laid off and doesn't know how to pay their bills and doesn't mm-hmm. know how to manage their money. But the key is too on the rental history, the trashing the house. You need to investigate. And an individual owner is afraid to do that mm. because you have to confront that individual who's renting your property and say to them, have you ever missed a payment? And I'm going to check with your former landlord. And the landlord that they're checking with many times doesn't want to talk to another individual and say, oh, yeah, they were bad. When you come into professional property management, it's a no-nonsense. It's a business. And going back to what you said, you know, how does the individual owner become a business person? And they don't. And that's why they get in trouble. The person, the tenant can give them every sob story under the sun as to why they can't pay. And the owner doesn't know how to look at them and say, I'm really sorry that happened to you, but I still have to pay my mortgage. Now, when is the payment going to be in? Mm-hmm. And that's part of what we deal with.
And I would like to add a little bit to that. I mean, the screenings are very, very important. And those of us who are expert property managers understand that it is a puzzle. And there are many more things that go into this. And I know all of us probably have our different criteria that we use. But we have many, many good, and I'd like to just step away from, you know, tenants too, because tenants are awesome. People step away from bashing tenants. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, get into this because they're awesome families and they're just having some rough times. And they might have had a foreclosure or a bankruptcy that has come into play, which we still can pick that up as long as we have verifiable income, good verifiable income, and as long as we have good checked. And this is the thing about property managers. I know the people in this room do this, but just checking credit is not the same as we do check criminal background, calling up and checking that rental history if they have it to check and talking to those people and also checking that verifiable income in writing with their company. And once we get all that in place, then it starts the ball rolling on the right. And I'm just like you, I do not have a lot of evictions on my record, on my watch so far, because a lot of it can be worked out ahead of time to everybody's benefit. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, we have very few. We don't have hardly any mm-hmm. evictions either. I've had three in 3 years, but we screen like crazy. Mm-hmm. And we use an electronic screening device. I mean, there's some very sophisticated screening systems out there that I will know if somebody's even had a speeding ticket ever oh. in their life. Mm-hmm. So, and that is the key. And I'll say to them, you may want to take your foot off the pedal a little bit when you're driving through, mm-hmm. say, Duluth, where our finest there will pick you up going at, you know, 46 miles an hour. And they look at me and go, how did you know that?
And yet again, for these owners, those of us in this room and expert property managers also know that there are reasons that we can deny a tenant access, and there are reasons that we can't deny. And that is one of the biggest things I think we have to offer owners is understanding those laws and why we can and can't, because you'd be surprised that there are reasons that we can't do it. For instance, familial status, things like that, very important issues that we have to look at. So we're here as professionals to protect our owners, and sometimes the owners aren't I know for me, sometimes they just kind of look at me like, well, why can't I do that? And I say, because I'm protecting you from a lawsuit. That's why. So good stuff.
Very good. Well, you're listening to Squawk Talk with our expert panel of guests today. Joining us in the field of property management, Lisa Fuque from Onward Property Management, Kathleen Teer from Atlanta Partners, Property Management. That is like a little tongue twister.
It is.
And Robert Locke from Crown Realty and Property Management. So let's talk a little bit about some of the people we've talked about. People getting into becoming either reluctant landlords or the tenants, a lot of that has come from the foreclosure market. Where is the foreclosure market today? Are we still seeing a lot of foreclosures? Are we expecting, you being experts in the field, maybe kind of see some trending? Are we still expecting to see a lot of foreclosures coming down the pike?
Well, I'll start out. Starting in about January, February of 2012, a lot of investor groups started moving into the Atlanta market. Phoenix and Vegas were kind of their first targets. But Atlanta is a large market, lots of foreclosures. So you see the big capital groups came in the first part of 2012. And these are folks that have literally hundreds of millions of dollars that they raised on Wall Street to go out and buy houses. And they start in the REO market after foreclosure. And that's been around for a long time. That market has totally dried up. Most of those companies are out of business now because these investor groups are actually going out and buying at foreclosure. Mm-hmm. And they have a machine. There's one group has about 75 people out on a Tuesday, three or four people at each county, and they're gobbling up 100, 150, 200 on the foreclosure market every single month. And the part of the problem is their acquisitions are way out ahead of their other services. We've dealt with a number of them that have bought 100, 150, 200 a month, but they don't have them rehabbed and rented yet. And so their rehab services, their leasing services are far behind. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, we haven't seen much of a downturn in the rental market. You'd think if a lot of these homes are coming back on the rental market that rents will start to fall, and that may happen in 2014. I haven't seen it happen so far today, but I think it will happen. A lot of the houses that have been bought in the last 6 months by investor groups are still in the rehab process. Some of them, you know, are missing air conditioning condensers, and people come in and strip out copper piping if they're in the wrong communities. But the capital markets have figured out there's money to be made in single-family management. Owning single-family houses. And so the foreclosure market has eaten it up, kind of drying up the REO market. But we have seen now that even those investor groups are going directly to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Jenny Mae pools, banks, and buying blocks of properties there before they even get to the foreclosure mm-hmm. market.
Yes.
So the whole rental market is going through a huge shift. And I'm not a good macroeconomist to kind of look forward and see what that's going to play out in 14 and 15. But I think rents are going to soften a little bit. The market today seems to be pretty strong. Lots of tenants out there. I think they are the people that lost their houses in foreclosures. They now become good tenants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the screening process, because if people have good credit other than a foreclosure on their record, those are good folks. Mm-hmm. And we rent to lots of them, as I know these gals do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I totally agree with what Robert said. And a lot of these huge funds and huge groups that have come in are internally trying a self-managing situation, mm-hmm. not understanding our laws and not understanding that things are different in Georgia than they may be from someplace else. And I think it's created some confusion, and also their ability to price housing. I agree completely with Robert. I think we've seen the market is very strong. I think it will remain strong because there are a lot of people who are renting houses that no longer want to buy. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of folks that are changing careers more than they ever used to. A house ties them down. They're not ready to be tied down by buying a home, mm-hmm. but they want to rent a nice home. And so when they're looking at a lot of the houses, they have high expectations of good housing, of it looking like that they have bought the house. But I do think that we're seeing fewer investors being able to buy. There's been a huge drop, I think 50% from a year ago, on the number of foreclosures this past month. So it's becoming harder and harder. And I know a lot of investors have moved on to other cities. And now we're dealing with absorbing mm-hmm. and taking care of what they have bought and are attempting to rehab. And I agree, there's a lot that are lot still in rehab that mm-hmm. they haven't come out, they haven't decided, they haven't understood the cost of rehabbing these properties. But I think rent will remain strong. But I don't think the prices, I think they're going to decrease a little bit, Robert. I agree with you when they start hitting all the market. Because while we have a good rental pool, a very strong rental pool, and will for some years to come, there's more houses out there,
yeah.
which is going to hurt the individual landlord who doesn't know how to respond to that changing market.
Sure. There's a whole shift in the rental market in America. Over in mm-hmm. Australia, for instance, I think the number is 43% of the people in Australia rent. And that's a very sophisticated property management market. A small company manages 3,000 properties in Australia. America has had this idea of an American dream, which is to own a house.
Right.
And I'm afraid that this isn't just this last 5 years hasn't been just a downturn, a normal cycle. I think it's a major shift. Mm-hmm. away from ownership. The idea of owning the American dream is we actually went out and grabbed the .com, leasing the American dream, mm-hmm. because that's kind of the shift that's going on. And so I very much agree with Kathleen. I think the rental market is going to continue to be strong because people are giving up on owning the American dream and moving, and they still don't want to move into an apartment community mm-hmm. or duplex. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to, they want to live an American dream. They're just mm-hmm. not ready yet to buy the American dream or right. own the American dream. And I think Kathleen is right on the money.
Well, and I think this is a similar business model to what we were dealing with in the, was it the 70s and 80s when, again, you had to put 20% down mm-hmm. On any home, which really is the right thing to do. The banks are still very reluctant to lend. So I do believe that we're just shifting back to maybe that market. The interest rates are going up now. So I think that's going to continue. And I agree with the softening of the rental rates as the market gets flooded with the rehab properties. So.
Well, and if somebody were looking to start and to say, well, you know, we're seeing a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of people that are not so tied down to I have to own the home and I'm willing to rent. So we're having people renting more homes. If somebody had some money to invest and they wanted to work with a property management company, realistically, if they were buying a home, what is that turn rate to get the home rent ready? How long would somebody be expected to, because it's not likely to buy it and so have somebody rent it the next day. How long is that turn take for average home?
I'm sure the girls will have an opinion. Let me give you mine. I think if you do it yourself, probably it's going to take a while. This is a time when I think using a professional real estate person, a property manager, they have vendors standing ready, mm-hmm. tried and tested, checked out, workman's comp, general liability. Most good property managers have got a group of vendors to work with, and we've all learned that our vendors are as important to us as our staff.
Yes.
I mean, they're really important. So typically, if you're dealing with a real estate professional, it might take a week or maybe 2 weeks, maybe three at the longest, because you're doing it as a business. Mm-hmm. If an owner kind of says, well, I'll take my tool belt over and I'll kind of work on it myself, that's going to stretch out. And we've seen
sure.
them take, you know, 2 months to get it ready. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they kind of shoot themselves in the foot by saying, well, I'm going to save some money by fixing up my own rental property, and they don't use a licensed professional, and they're just going to eat up several weeks' worth of lost rent by doing it themselves. So, you know, we like to think we can have it done in 2 weeks. Obviously, if it means new carpet and a lot of rehabbing more than just rent-ready stuff, it'll take longer than that.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some lost revenue there also with when an owner chooses to do their own property, because they may pick and choose some items financially that maybe we wouldn't advise them to do. So they may lose money starting out of the gate doing that, as well as having a longer time period. So
I agree. And I think sometimes the owners who have bought a few properties, which I encourage them to do, are looking at it as if they were going to be fixing the house up for sale mm-hmm. as opposed to fixing
Absolutely.
The house up for rent.
That's a good point.
And again, they don't know some of the codes. They don't understand hand railing sometimes. They don't understand how the hot water heater has to be located. They don't understand a lot of things. But there is a lot of lost rent. And it also depends upon some of these people buy these as-is houses. And it's major systems, because if someone is letting it go into foreclosure, most of the time they haven't been keeping the property up. So you're going to get in there and find bad septic tanks,
right.
bad plumbing. It's going to be more of a challenge than I think the average homeowner with the tool belt can go in and do.
mm-hmm.
You really do need a professional. And all of us do have professional people that will give them bids. And it's much cheaper to have somebody professional do it and do it right. Get the mold out of there. Mm-hmm. Do the things that need to be done, as opposed to trying to lose all those rents for 3 months while you get it done.
Absolutely. You're listening again to Squawk Talk with our expert panel of guests today talking to us in the field of property management. Joining us in the studio today is Robert Locke with Crown Realty and Management, Kathleen Teer with Atlanta Partners Property Management, and Lisa Fuque from Onward Property Management. So let's continue a little bit on this topic. What protections does a tenant have if their property is going into foreclosure? Because maybe the landlords, they're just an investment group, and maybe they've got 200 properties, and then the mortgage is maybe their whole business is going under, so they're going into bankruptcy, and the house they're living in that they've been paying rent every month is going into foreclosure. How do you help a tenant get through that process, and what protections
do they
have?
Let's start with the old law. The old law says that when a house goes through a foreclosure, the management agreement with the landlord is wiped out and the lease is wiped out. That's state law. In, I think, 2009, in Obama's effort to protect tenants from houses going into foreclosure, a law was passed called Renters' Rights in Foreclosure. You can Google that and read it. And basically, it changed the state law. It set aside state law, and it said the management agreement might be over with, and we as a professional landlord are now out of a job with that particular owner, but the lease is still in full force and effect, and a tenant can stay there. Now, if it's a month-to-month lease, they've got 90 days. If it's a Section 8 housing, government support housing, the rules change a little bit. But the tenants have some rights now, and they can stay in the house till the lease expires. Now, the foreclosure attorneys are kind of ignoring that. Unfortunately, renters get tromped on because they don't have much legal support and they don't know where to go for good answers. And so foreclosure attorneys are, after foreclosure, are bullying, bribing, threatening, you know, eviction's going to happen in a week. And renters don't know quite what to do. And they've got a lifeline. They've got this renter's rights and foreclosure law. And it's got some kinks in it. If you've got a phony lease, you know, written on a napkin, $400 a month for 5 years, you know, they know what a bogus lease is. And those folks will get evicted. But if they've got a legitimate lease and it's got an anniversary date of June of 2014, they can pay the rent to whoever the foreclosure attorney is or the lender and stay there. They might not get any repairs done because foreclosure attorneys aren't very good at that. But there are some lenders who are putting these houses in the hands of professional property managers in order to honor that law and honor the tenant's rights in that rental agreement. But it changed in 2009, I think, April. But unfortunately, an awful lot of people who are buying at foreclosure are ignoring that law, even the lawyer community, and running tenants out unjustly.
I agree. We've seen quite a bit of that where we've had properties that we were managing that went into foreclosure. We get surprised sometimes, and the tenant goes, oh, somebody's at my front door telling me I have to move next week. And I'm going, no, you don't. So give me the name of the attorney, and we'll contact them, and we'll deal with this. And we do inform the tenants that they do have rights. And, in fact, many a time we've had tenants looking at a property wanting to know and wanting proof that the owner is paying the mortgage. I've had tenants request that they want a quarterly report. We don't provide it. But they want to know because they've gotten a bad deal on some of that. And also going back to your investor groups, they're buying cash. There's no mortgages on those properties, and they're paying cash for them. So if you're representing an investor group and have investors, that's a positive sign for a tenant to rent a property without a mortgage on it.
All the more positive reason why a tenant would want to go through a property management company as well,
definitely,
and not just look for the house for rent sign
exactly
on the front yard. So we're going to change gears just a little bit. Kathleen, you mentioned before we went on the air about an article you were reading earlier about how to be a good tenant.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about how to be a good tenant. You can relate to that article and just your experience as well.
Yes. John Adams, who he and I got into the real estate business many, many years ago, and he writes articles for the AJC. And he had a very good article in Sunday's paper from the side of, you know, being a good tenant and giving some of the tips of being a good tenant. And I think part of it is a good deal of to look at being a good tenant is, number one, understand that there are rules. And there are rules that property management companies have to follow, and there are rules that the tenants need to follow. So, you know, don't fight it. A lot of them come in, and the best defense is a good offense, and that's not a good defense because the landlord is in charge here, and some people have a hard time with that. But one of the things is reading their lease, understanding the lease. All of us, certainly all the people on this panel and most every other good property management company out there, explains the leases and does inform them of their rights. The problem is sometimes they may not like what some of those rules are, but they sign it because it's the only way they're going to get the house. So recommending to be a good tenant, read your lease, pay attention to it, pay your rent on time.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
Pay your rent on time. And if you're not going to be on time, call the landlord and tell them why You know, if you start avoiding it, you start avoiding the phone calls and everything else. And I will tell you, 98% of the people are great tenants out there. They're paying their rent on time. They're taking care of these homes as if it's their own. But there is a small group sometimes that doesn't do that. But pay the rent on time. Call in your maintenance and be reasonable about it, because the owner is not required to fix the toilet paper holder that fell off the wall. So that's part of just being a good tenant, and communication. Communication is the key to everything.
Very good. Anybody have any other tips to add in there for being a good tenant?
Yeah, one of the challenges, Kate, that in the real estate business is that in sales, generally both buyer and seller have an agent. Mm-hmm. And the agents are committed to making sure that the buyer and the seller understand what they're signing, understand the obligation and duties under their purchase and sale agreement. In the real estate leasing world, in the property management world, we have tried for years to figure out a way how to make enough money representing tenants, because tenants are not represented. Mm-hmm. No. Tenants have a hard time getting a real estate agent or somebody to put them in a car or help mm-hmm. them with a computer to look at various properties. And so as a group, they are unrepresented, and they're at a huge disadvantage.
Sure, because as a property manager, you're representing the landlord.
Of course we are. Absolutely. Of course we are. Yeah. And even though they are the tenant is our customer, it still leans in the landlord owner's favor, because mm-hmm. that's who we're representing. And in real estate, that's okay, because there's somebody representing the buyer. The tenant community is at a real loss, because there's not enough money doing tenant agency. Mm. You've got to somehow have some ulterior motive. It's my brother-in-law, right. You know, I want to help my mother-in-law find a house to rent in another town,
right.
You know. And so there's this tension that tenants for single family, condo, duplex kind of marketplace really can't get good representation. And we've tried tenant representation services, tenants, you know, tenanthelp.com, and we've tried a number of things, and quite honestly, can't make it work. Mm-hmm. We just can't. There's just not enough money in it, because in the landlording business for the professional property manager, the fees that we get to lease a house are not enough to be able to split with another real estate agent. There just isn't enough money in it. It's just too much of a nickel-dime business. And so tenants kind of come up short in terms of not having representation. And I wish that were not true, but that's kind of what certainly the Atlanta market is that way. I don't know about other parts of the country.
I totally agree with Robert on that. And the other problem is just at the very starting right out of the gate, just finding rental properties. The market is moving very quickly. And so I know everyone here, I know for me, my average rental time is, I put it out in the listing service, and I usually have someone under lease agreement within 2 weeks usually. It's that fast. And so the problem is they can't even find properties. And it is. I struggle with that a lot, because I get a lot of tenants calling on a property that I already have rented. And mm-hmm. fortunately for me, we are in a business model right now that, because the agents in my office are licensed as property managers and real estate agents, they are, while they're building their property base, they're actually working with tenants. Mm-hmm. So I have a very nice advantage right now to have a place to send them to help. But I don't know if y'all are running into this, but we put them in the listing service, all of our listings. But a lot of companies, your investment groups that we were just discussing, are not putting them out there for anyone to even find. You've got to go find specific websites. Are y'all running into that too?
We put all of ours into the listing services.
Yes.
And so we get good response from other agents. There are some agents out there that do show properties. Again, it's subsidizing the fact that they haven't had sales commissions mm-hmm. for a couple of years that have been substantial. So we're seeing a lot of those agents dropping out. But also to the point of tenants and tenant representation, there are states that are forming tenant unions to represent the tenants. And there are several states out there that have done that. I think I was reading an article recently that said there were 12 or 13 states that had tenant unions that trying to get tenant representation. But we get a lot of business from the MLS, but we have our own website, and it syndicates out to hundreds of other websites, mm-hmm. and the leads we get are tremendous. Mm-hmm. It's an individual tenant looking mm-hmm. on their own trying to find something, and they are renting very quickly, mm-hmm. yes. And if it's on the market 30 days, it's like, oh, we've got a problem here if we don't get somebody in within that length of time. But there's also, too, a lot of the websites – You've got a lot of the websites out there that have the large rental properties. Don't have information for the tenants and teaching them what their rights are. A tenant does know that you have to do the move-out inspection within 3 days. They do know when you have to return the security deposit. So I think there's a lot of tenant education going on, but it's from outside sources, and sometimes it's not accurate.
How would a tenant union affect you all here in the state of Georgia if that were to come to fruition?
I just need to, because I haven't read any of those articles. I've never heard of a tenant union, so Kathleen's way ahead of me there. I suspect that tenant unions are coming about because of folks in the apartment, duplex, condo side of the market. I don't know that, but my suspicion is...
Yes, it did originate.
My suspicion is people that are renting $1,000, $1,200, $1,800, $3,000 a month don't think of themselves as renters. They think of themselves as kind of, well, I can't be a homeowner today, but I'm going to live in a home like that. And I don't know if they'd join a tenant union or not. I have no experience with tenant unions, so I
think it's more of a lower income of rental in the apartment community, or?
Well, there's high end. Yeah. I was going to say, I would think it'd more be on the high end side, all sides.
Yeah, I think it covers all demographic groups and all price ranges, because rentals cover everything from the very lowest of price ranges up to, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a month on rental. And to Robert's point, some of the folks are renting. They don't think of themselves as renters. They think of themselves as people who do not want to own, and I'm in a very classy rental, and I don't ever want to own. Many of them would, but they just don't want to do it for whatever reason. But they know their rights. I mean, we have people all the time quoting us. I shouldn't say all the time, but we have people that are quoting law to us, and the law's not accurate.
All right, we're listening to Squawk Talk with our expert panel of guests today in the field of property management. Kathleen Teer from Atlanta Partners Property Management, Robert Locke from Crown Realty Management, and Lisa Fuqua from Onward Property Management. A couple final set of questions. Let's switch gears back over to the landlord. What kind of advice would you give if you could give one piece of advice to the landlord coming to your company to say, I'd like to hire you to manage my property, what's the one piece of advice that you could give them to be a good owner, a good landlord?
Well, I think the biggest struggle we have is people who hire us to be a property manager and then tell us how to do it.
Let us do it. That's the answer.
That's a good answer, isn't it?
It's a perfect answer. Perfect answer.
It's amazing how these capital groups come into town and they're going to buy 1,000 houses or 1,500, and they think you're a good company and you're in the right geographic area and you know what you're doing, and then we want you to change your whole system and do it our way.
Yes.
And it's amazing. People come in with this idea that they know better. And it's kind of like you ask people, if you hire an attorney to handle a case, do you kind of tell them how to do it? If you hire a CPA to do your tax return, you kind of sit next to them and tell them how to do it? And unfortunately, landlording is not an elevated profession the way it should be. It'll get there. The trade association is only 25 years old. That's very young for a trade association. It's not like GAR or National Association of Realtors or some of these old organizations. So the property management community, really, I've had people say, you're a property manager. Yeah. Do people really choose to do that? I mean, it's not thought of as a highly paid profession. Well, it isn't. I mean, it's a nickel dime business. But, I mean, people, they almost look at you like you're really, how in the world did you choose to do that? They don't think that way about their lawyer. Mm-hmm. They don't think that way about their CPA. Years ago, they used to think that way about doctors, but that changed over the years. And I think there will be a day, not in my lifetime, but there will be a day when somebody says, I'm going to turn it over to a professional property manager and walk away and let them do it. And that's what people need to do. If you're going to find somebody that's made this a profession, you need to listen to them, not talk very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, you alluded to my next question. Coming up at the end of this week is the National Association of Residential Property Managers Georgia Convention, and that's coming up in the Hilton Atlanta Garden Convention Center. Talk to us a little bit about the benefits of being a part of a NARPM organization and why a professional property management company should be involved in those trade associations.
Well, I can probably address that because I've been a member for 25 years, and it's amazing. For years, I put my turned my back to it. It's too big an ego, and I'd done property management for 15 years. Who can teach me? You know, I know what I'm doing. And so I kind of snubbed the organization for a while. Then I listened to some audio tapes of a few of their breakout sessions, and I thought, holy cow, there are people all over the country that are fighting the same battles I'm fighting, mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to make a buck doing this. Very, very bright folks. I can learn from them. And so if you're kind of an old guy and got an ego problem, you kind of push off trade associations. If you join and realize that NARPM is there to help a property manager become a better property manager, make more money, save time and systems and efficiencies and so on, and realize that there's thousands of people around the country fighting the same battles that you're fighting, it becomes a great learning experience. It is a great camaraderie builder. It is unlike the sales world that kind of says, I have secrets and I'm not going to share them with you. Very different. The NARPM world is more, I've screwed that up a lot. Let me tell you how not mm-hmm. to screw it up.
Exactly.
And I'm a master at that. I got a PhD in screw it up. And I've done it for 32 years. So, I mean, obviously, I've had lots of opportunities to screw it up. And they're just, there's a different spirit in this trade association, a willingness to help other people. Avoid some of the mistakes, take the shortcuts down right, and actually have a possibility of making it profitable. So NARPM is a young organization. It's probably only got 4,300 members, so it's in its infant stage. But the helps and the designations and the benefits are just off the chart. I just didn't realize 20 years ago that there were actually people dumb enough to really get into this as a profession. And I thought I was weird until I found that there are a lot of people who are in this business, and they do it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And I agree, as a newer member of NARPM, I think the educational opportunities are tremendous. And I think NARPM does an excellent job of keeping us informed of new changes in the law. So the education, the networking portion of it. There's also a code of ethics, too. And the group, as a group, abides by a very very good code of ethics. So when you're hiring a property manager who is a member of the organization, it's kind of like you know what you're getting. You're going to get a quality property manager.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, again, that annual convention is going to be at the Hilton Convention Center in Marietta this Thursday and Friday for those who are listening. And you've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. Special thank you again to my expert panel for being on the show. As we close out today, tell us a little bit about again about your company and how people can find a little bit more information about your services. We'll start with Lisa Fuquay from Onward Property Management.
You can find us on the website. We have I also have a Facebook page. It's wonderful. You can share. It's called Onward Property Management. And then also our website is www.onwardpropertymanagement.com. We service the northern counties mostly. We do have a few stragglers out there in other areas, but that's where you can find us. And do you want phone numbers? And
go ahead.
Phone number is 678-697-7933. Thank you.
Very good. And Kathleen Teer from Atlanta Partners Property Management.
Thank you. Our website is atlantapartnerspropertymanagement.com. You can go there to see all of our inventory, online applications. Our phone number is 678-597-5888. And we really would enjoy any calls or anybody has any interest in our services. We'd be glad to discuss them with them.
Thank you, Kathleen, for being on the show. And finally, Robert Locke from Crown Realty and Management.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it so much. You can find Crown at crowngeorgia.com, crowngeorgia.com. And we've been in the market 30 years, and property management is our specialty. We do a few sales, but the people in this town know us as the property management experts. So we're in there to help owners and help residents and get residents into good properties and in many cases sell them those properties. We still believe in the American dream. We think it can be owned, not rented. But sometimes people just need to have a place to park for a year or two until they are able to grab back that American dream mm-hmm. that they were looking for.
Fantastic. And I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor cleaning and restoration needs. To listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts, go to squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, set the eagle in flight.